Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed, I am your host, the one, the only Mark Unger.
That's you.
Thankfully. Joining me as always, the very lovely and charming Diane Brierley. She's brown.
A brown.
Very brown, with splashes of green. And Phil, with a tie even.
High five.
Phil Unger. He's blue. And I don't know what I am. Anyway, engineering the show as always, the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, engineer extraordinaire, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this program. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at ask@markgunger.com. Here is how the show works. You can send us an email about anything and remain totally anonymous. That is the safety of the program. It allows you to bring up questions that you probably wouldn't ask anybody. So nothing's off limits on the show. That's why there's a warning on the show, because we will take anything. In exchange for that, we are brutally honest. This is a show of brutal honesty. While everybody in the world, particularly in the Christian world, is overwhelmingly obsessed with how you feel, about the feeling, the way your feeler feels, this show doesn't care. We intentionally set feelings aside and just deal with the brutal, honest situation. If you're not up for that, then don't email us. Truth is, we have more emails than we can handle. But if you'd like to know what we think, bring it on, okay? And those of you who listen to the show, don't panic and freak when we're so direct with people. They know that's what's coming. We warn them. I warn them at the beginning of the show. We warn them when they email us. We're pretty straight up for it. If we like what you have to say, we will celebrate you. If not, we will castigate you. Three versions of castigation. One is we'll stick your head in the toilet and flush. We call it a swirly. Hopefully the water spinning around your head will knock you out of your insanity. If we really think you're crazy, we'll give you the goat button. And if you're blathering on too much, you get the chicken. You get all three. It's the trifecta. You are crazier than a loon. All right.
What was the thing I sent you the other day? This is not a bakery. I don't sugarcoat anything. If you ask for my opinion, then that's what you'll get. Don't be mad when it's not what you don't want to hear.
That is our...
It's the Mark Unger Show motto.
That is our motto.
Not a bakery.
That's right. All right.
Okay, a little article today says that watching excessive amounts of online pornography can adversely affect a person's short-term memory and decision-making ability.
Seriously?
In the first-of-a-kind study by German scientists, they showed guys pornographic versus non-pornographic pictures, and then they had to answer questions. They got significantly more answers wrong after they had viewed the pornographic images. Researchers believe that the findings could help psychologists and psychiatrists to better understand why internet porn addicts miss appointments, neglect relationships, and even forget to sleep. Previous research linked the processing of sexual images with the areas of the brain that are responsible.
How do you forget to sleep?
Well, I don't think you forget. I think you're
just... I was going to sleep. I totally forgot about it.
What am I supposed to do?
You're just consumed.
I knew there was something.
What you're doing online. They say sexual arousal interferes with working memory.
Huh.
That it redirects blood from the parts of the brain. No. From the thinking parts of the brain to the parts of the brain that are responsible for sexual arousal.
I don't know. You're talking about blood flow here. It's easy to get confused.
It just changes what parts of the brain it's going to.
All right.
So you forget and have memory problems.
Look. Every study that is coming out recently is showing that porn is destructive. We have memory problems here now. They're saying it's tied to a reduction in the testosterone level in men. It's creating erectile dysfunction in men. It's bad. It's just bad. You'd think people would get a clue. But you know, the problem is oftentimes in the Christian community, we don't really tell them the bad consequences. We just say, it's naughty. You probably shouldn't do it. La, la, la. It's very exciting, isn't it? And we understand, but you shouldn't. What do you mean? It's not great sex. Mm-hmm. It's absurd. It's destructive and it'll suck the life right out of you. You are killing yourselves, guys, with this foolish, stupid, absurd behavior. We will be back with more of your emails and stuff for today's show right after this break.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
This podcast of the Mark Gunger Show is being brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks in the known universe. This is an opportunity for you to get information that you haven't had time to read up on. Books you should read, magazines you should read, all that stuff. Everybody knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, I should, but I don't have time. Well, now you have ways of listening where you don't have to actually read it. A lot of us are stuck in cars during commutes and stuff like that. Some of you are really long. A lot of people who listen to the show, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually our biggest audience. Yes. I think. Well, not anymore. Now we're in Africa, we've got like 210,000 people a week listening to the show. So I guess now more people actually watch us on television. But in the States, still our biggest audience are people who podcast it and listen while they're driving their cars because they're driving for an hour and a half one way to work. Mm-hmm. Which really, what a sucky way to live.
Every day, too. Yeah, like exactly. I do it once
what
a week.
What are you guys doing, man? Move to Wisconsin. Move to Green Bay. Your drive to work is like 5 minutes. Good grief. Anyway, if that's your life, you're stuck. Hey, you are the person who should be listening to books and getting some good information in your brain. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger and you can download a book for free and try it out. They also have a new, app on your phones so that you can put it right there and listen to it while you're driving around doing whatever it is that you do. So go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger. You can pick any book you want from their vast library, absolutely free, and you'll get a 30-day free trial. So check it out. Go to audiblepodcast.com/gunger and check it out today. We're back. Mark Gunger Show, talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Answering your emails that you can send to us at ask@markgunger.com. What have
okay,
you
she
today?
Says, Dear Pastor Mark, my husband of 6 years wants me to stay out of his son's business. The 20-year-old stepson lives in our shed apartment in our backyard. He has been there a year now. The boy works and gives us $300 a month. I have to wash his clothes. He was arrested twice. He broke the rules about not bringing girls and anyone back here many times. Does not keep it clean unless I remind my husband to tell him to empty his trash, clean the toilet, etc. He asks us for toilet paper and light bulbs, but yet the last time he was arrested, he called us out of bed at 1:30 in the morning to pick up his car or it would get towed.
Excuse
and
me,
we
you have
did.
Any toilet paper? A light bulb?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, am I alone here thinking this kid needs to get out of our backyard
I'm
and be a
be
man?
I'm going to be in there a really long time.
Mm-hmm. I need some toilet paper and some extra light bulbs.
Because the light bulb might burn out before I'm done.
I'm going to be there an extended, extended amount of time.
Yeah.
That's a long time.
She says, yet my husband tells me to stay out of it. Is that really what I am to do in this situation? This is the one big disagreement we have, the only thing that really comes between our happy marriage. I often ask myself, who am I mad at, my husband or the enabling of the boy?
Yeah. You know, this is what you sign up for when you step into a second marriage. I don't know what else to tell you. In a first marriage, I'd say you confront the husband, you'd be hell to pay. Do whatever you got to do. But when you get into the remarriage thing, I don't know what y'all are thinking. My advice, I've always said, when it comes to stepchildren, let the spouse of the children deal with the children, straight up. If you have, if someone needs to speak into the life of your kids, you're the one that needs to do it. If it's his kids, he's the one who needs to do it, and you do need to stay out of it. You'll notice your marriage is happy, except when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. This is usually what destroys the second marriage, is always fighting over the kids. You say, well, the other kid's terrible, and he's a terrible enabler. I know, and I probably agree with you. But this is what you sign up for, people.
That's all part and parcel of the Brady Bunch. They didn't show that with Mike and Carol Brady. They didn't show that part of it. But that's part of it.
I'm telling you, my advice... My advice is you think really hard before doing the second marriage. That's what we're trying to keep people from losing the first one. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks, oh, it's no big deal. We'll start the second one. It is a big deal. It's really hard. And the biggest challenge is the problem of the stepkids. Now, why he's still enabling, I'll tell you why. Because he's guilty.
Yep.
He feels awful. He's the one who traumatized his son by divorcing the son's mother. That's why all you guys, they all do it.
They motivate, or they operate as a parent out of guilty motivation
constantly.
Rather than...
My guess is the parent always tends to let the other kids get away with more murder than the other parent because they're full of guilt. And it's a mess. That's why we're trying to stop this in the first place. But you want a happy marriage? My advice, stay out of it. And this is to all you guys with blended families. Let the spouse deal with their own kid. But that kid's horrible. Yeah, I know, but this is what you signed up for, okay? Were you not paying attention when you were dating? No, they weren't.
No.
Most of them having sex, getting all excited. We're in love. And then you get married, and all that settles down. Then you got to deal with real life, stuff you should have been seeing before you weren't seeing. That's on you. My advice. You want my advice? That's my advice. I would agree with you. If I had a chance to talk to your husband, I'd slap him upside the head and say, dude, what are you doing enabling your son to sit there and live in fantasy land, inviting girls over and having sex? She's right in a million different ways, but I'm telling you, you're not going to fix this. Mm-mm. You need to just stay out of it. If he asks your opinion, or some stuff's real obvious, you can say comments from time to time and say, without being nasty and stuff, say, you know, you're enabling him. He does this because you let him. Okay, you said your point, then move on.
Yeah, and if he says stay out of it, stay out of it.
You just got to stay out of it. Look, if I had a better answer for it, I'd give it for you. I don't have it. That's the only thing I know. You say, well, that's terrible. It's horrible. It's not fair. Blah, 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 blah. This is what you signed up for. All you people who can't wait to divorce your spouse and marry someone else, that one person God has just for you. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. This is what you're headed for. Better to save the first one because the dynamics in the first one are much healthier and easier to deal with than in the second one. And that's all I got to say about that.
Okay.
All right.
Next question. She says, I'm a fairly new listener, so I apologize if this has already come up often. But Mark, what are your thoughts on online dating?
Here's my thoughts on dating, period. And actually, you ought to go online and buy my DVD. Not just trying to sell DVDs, but this will really help you. It's called Singles and Stinking Thinking. And it's designed for singles. And we teach you from the Bible how to approach dating. One of the fundamental things about dating is that you need to look for someone to marry. This idea of waiting for God to bring you a husband is ridiculous. Waiting for the Lord to tell you who to marry is absurd because no place in the Bible did God ever do that. I will give $1,000 to anyone who can show me where God told anybody to marry anyone. The closest you can get is when an angel appeared to Joseph in a dream to encourage him to take Mary as his wife, but he already picked her. And besides, he didn't tell her to marry her anyway. He just said, don't be afraid to, because he was afraid because she was pregnant. But beyond that, and even in that case, he didn't tell her to marry. I'll give you anybody who can come up with any place in the Bible where God told anybody to marry anyone, boom, $1,000 will come to you right away. But it won't, because there is no place in the Bible. I've read it. I know. Every time a Christian says, I'm just waiting for God to tell me who to marry, they are speaking unbiblically because there's no example in the Bible. I'm not saying God can't do it. I'm just saying it's not biblical. There's no place in the Bible where you see this. We really ought to be living more by the Bible. What the Bible does say when it comes to marriage is he who finds a wife finds a good thing. A woman of noble character who can find. The Bible often refers to marriage as a choice, a decision, something you have to look for and you have to find. Now, I don't have a problem with you asking God to help you find. That I'm totally cool with. If I lose something, I will often pray, Lord, help me find it. If I lose my glasses, I might pray, Lord, help me find my glasses. I believe God will help me.
But you're going to look for them. You're not going to just sit there on your duff.
I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I'm waiting for God to bring me my glasses.
Oh, there's people that would do that, though.
Well, they're crazy.
But they do.
A lot of crazy people out there. All right. Now, most people would know that that's crazy. But that's what a lot of these singles do. And we forgot to bring me a husband. You're crazy, all right? And you're also very unbiblical. Now, you can ask God to help you find. Finding means you have to go looking. Do I have a problem with someone going online dating? Not at all, because you are in the process of looking. Just use your brain, would you? For heaven's sakes.
Because you don't know these people, and you speak all the time about knowing the person and somebody and your friends and family, knowing them and all of that.
Well, if there is a problem with online dating, it is that you're both totally separated from anybody who really knows either one of you.
Yeah.
So no one can really speak into your life. So I don't have a problem if you're going to go look, but use your brain. And get my DVDs. Watch them. Singles and Stinking Thinking. Go to laughyourway.com. You can get it there. And it will really help you. Okay? Or at a Christian bookstore near you. All right. Where are we at? Let's take a break. We'll be back with more of your emails right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
He's come for the lonely, the lost and devout. It's only a baby real.
The music of Jimmy Bratcher. Check it out, jimmybratcher.com. You are listening to and or watching The Mark Gunger Show along with Diane and Phil, answering your emails about love, marriage, and relationships, or anything else you want to know what we think about. What do you got?
Okay, ready? The subject line of this, she says, am I being irrational? She wants to know.
Yes, next question.
Dear Mark, my husband and I love your show.
Is he experiencing Diantics?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Go ahead. Tell him what it is. What's Diantics?
I don't know what it is. Phil was explaining it. To me, it's antics that Diane does.
He's talking.
I think it's pronounced Dianetics.
Dianetics.
I like Diantics better.
Diantics is much better.
Actually.
Really controlling your subconscious mind.
In reality, it has nothing to do with me. But, okay.
I don't know.
You're the inventor of Scientology.
You're the inventor of Diane Antics.
Mm-hmm. I'm the inventor of that for sure. Okay.
All right.
She says, my husband and I love your show. Both think you're absolutely amazing.
And good looking.
That's right. Don't forget that part.
They always leave that out. I hate that. Why do they leave that out?
I don't know.
It must just be assumed. They must just assume. That I know I'm that handsome. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Okay. She says, I've been married to my high school sweetheart for almost 8 years now. I was 19. He was 20 when we got married. We've had our moments. When we were married less than a month, he had an affair.
Oh, good Lord. Who has an affair 1 month after you're married?
Apparently he did. I don't know, but apparently
I've heard of this, actually.
Yes, I've heard of it,
but too. This has got to be going on for a while, right?
I don't know.
It's like, do you meet someone you never met before in 4 weeks and climb into bed with them in 4 weeks?
Unless it's somebody that you previously knew. I didn't ask, but you hear of it. I can't imagine how that happens.
I know, it's just bizarre.
She says, I had forgiven him, but then it happened again when our first child was a few months old. I am expecting our second child, and I still have this feeling that he has someone on the side.
Can't imagine why.
He is very sneaky and often lies to me when I confront him about it. When he comes home from work, he's on his phone. When I come up to him, his eyes widen and he quickly hides his phone. I do love him, and he says that he loves me, but his actions speak louder than words.
No. Your actions speak louder than words. Your actions say you can do whatever you want and there is no price to pay. That's what your actions say, dear. He can commit adultery several times to you. And what happens? Nothing.
She forgave him.
Oh, see, they justify it. They make it sound spiritual. Oh, I forgave him. Oh, you forgave him. Oh, I see. The truth of the matter is you are an enabler in that you see him doing these things and you do not confront him about it. You do not challenge him about it. You know he's talking to other women. When you walk up to him, you don't do anything about it.
She says she confronts him, but he just lies.
Yeah, but she tolerates it. Okay. What these women do is they talk men to death. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what I think, and it really hurts my feelings, and I think you shouldn't do that, and blah, 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 and I really... But you know what they hear? Here, I have a recording of what they hear. This is what they hear when you girls talk to them. Where is it? That's what they hear. You know, I really don't should do that. It really hurts my feelings, and I really you probably shouldn't do that because I always be very sensitive, and I don't want you doing anything.
Okay, so I ask her.
No, just wait.
Go ahead.
You know your husband's been with other women. No. You know your husband's talking to other women.
No.
Yeah. Do you come up and tell him that it's bothering you?
No. And do I ask you if I'm being irrational about it? No.
She goes into her Diantics.
I do. Yeah. It'd be quite spectacular,
Diantics. If I'm doing that, my wife, sweetheart, isn't going to be writing some knucklehead pastor like me on the internet saying, oh, what do you think I should do? I don't know what to do. There would be hell to pay in my house if I did. Any woman who has a strong marriage and who is a strong woman would never tolerate what you tolerate. You justify it as compassion and forgiveness. I would challenge you, say that you are weak and insecure and you are full of fear. You tell your husband he needs to stop it and that you will not tolerate it. And you keep walking in, and he's talking to other women, says, you keep this up. When you come home, I'm not going to be here. And he'll keep doing it. And when he comes home, you need to not be there. You need to just go check out for a day or two. He'll freak. He will panic. The minute he comes home, he will come unglued. He will cry, oh, please come home. I'll do anything. Okay, then you come home. You say, but if you do it again, I'm going to do it again. And a lot of times you have to do it several times.
Yes.
A lot of women, they don't like the idea that they have to do this more than once. They might do it. Most of them won't even do it more than once. But if they will, they'll do it only once. And then they don't want to do it again. But you got to keep doing it again. Even a dog at some point can be trained. Even a wild bull can be trained. Even a dumb whale on command will flip and twirl in the air out of the water. Because even a beast can be trained because they keep having the same message drilled over and over. And you women won't do it.
And shock therapy helps in most cases.
She needs some shock therapy.
Well, there's a little bit of the story that doesn't make one bit of sense to me because I asked, are you active Christians in your church? Have you spoken to your pastor about this? She says, we are very active in our church. I've tried talking to the pastor, but he also thinks I'm overreacting.
Because?
So I said, did you talk to him and tell him about the other bouts of adultery? And what did he say about those? And she said, no, at that time they were at a different church. And now their current pastor doesn't know anything about the past.
Exactly.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
Yeah, there's no... You don't tell your pastor he's already committed adultery on you a couple of times and now he's doing it. See, right now the pastor will think, well, gee, I'm really concerned my husband. Well, he might, you're kind of overreacting here. Not when your husband's already done this on a couple of times.
No.
But see, the pastor doesn't know that because you don't want the pastor to know. And you're just, I'm telling you, your problem, sweetheart, is not your husband. I know it sounds mean. Go look in the mirror. You see that person in the mirror? That's your problem. That weak, fearful, insecure woman who spiritualizes her fears and her unwillingness to confront things using terms like forgiveness, when in fact she just doesn't want to really confront the situation. You need to, and here's the thing, here's the crazy, because I know a lot of you listening right now disagree with me, but women like this, they all eventually leave them anyway. They all will leave them. Every single one of them.
After the fourth or fifth time.
I promise you, this woman will leave her husband. But here's what's going to, it might take years, but she'll eventually leave him to divorce him. And then when he, as I predict, will call her and do anything he can to save the marriage, she will say, it's too late. I don't care anymore. How about we start encouraging women to confront their husbands while they still care, where they move out when they still care? You come home, he comes home, you're not there. Where are you? I didn't. Of course, you go, well, I got no, these women always have excuses. I have no place to go. You got some place to go. You got friends, you got family, you got somebody somewhere. If nothing else, go to a hotel and take his credit card and go get a nice massage for a day. You're just chicken. None of you want to do it. And the reality is, I promise you, the separation I'm talking about, people, it's usually 24 hours. 24 hours, it's over with. The minute you leave and he comes home and you're not there, he will freak. He will call you on his cell phone. Where are you? How come you're out? And you tell him because you keep talking to other women. You need to stop it. Okay, I promise. And then you come home. You keep doing this. You will teach him that as far as you're concerned, this cannot be. We'll be back with more right after this.
Caution. The Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
Romeo and Juliet, to plays they haven't written yet. It's old and new, it's a classic tale of two. In a perfectly perfect love.
Music of Michael O'Brien, check out his music at michaelo.org. All right, what do you got?
This email says, I hear a lot about the LGB movement in church.
LGB.
Lesbian.
Lesbian.
Gay. Bisexual.
Bisexual.
And I said that I've actually seen it with the T for transsexual.
Transsexual.
And then Q, which means questioning. So I've seen it.
LGBTQ.
Is the way that I've seen it. Anyhow, there's an awful lot of letters there.
And questioning.
Okay, so hear a lot about it in church and how God loves them despite their lifestyle and how many mainline churches have seen the light and that God doesn't really disapprove of their lifestyle and there is nothing in the Bible that says as much. She wants to know, how do they get around Romans 1, 26 through 28, which says,
because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women changed natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committing shameful acts with other men and receiving themselves the due penalty for their error. This is the Bible. This is the New Testament. This is what people say. The Bible says there's nothing against homosexuality.
Well, she wants to know, am I missing something?
No, because, I mean, it's stunning. They say the Bible doesn't say anything against homosexuality when it clearly does. Well, certainly in the Old Testament it did, and this is the New Testament, okay? So it's wrong. It's wrong. Okay. Now, why they choose to do it? Because they have sold out. They want to be accepted more than anything. And I promise you, the main reason churches, and we are going to get to the point, and we're not far from it, where all churches will consider any version of sexual sin totally fine, because they have sold their souls. These are churches, these are pastors who desperately just want to be liked by others, and they want to be thought of as cool by the culture and accepted by everybody. And they think this is a key to growing churches, when in fact, if you will look at the most liberal churches that accept all these things, these are the churches that are losing members like crazy. There is nothing that draws people to something that stands for nothing. And here's a great example. People who often say to me, you know, you shouldn't condemn man for looking at porn and masturbating and having sex with their girlfriends and stuff. You know, well, if you take that kind of stand, you'll push men from the church. Really? Because the fastest growing religion in the world today is Islam. And Islam is very clear that men do not masturbate. They do not look at porn. They do not commit adultery. They are way more strict than any version of Christianity that I talk about, yet is the fastest growing religion among men in the world. So, where's the proof? If you say that if we take a hard stand that we will push men away from Christ, when in fact, people who take the hardest stand, men are being drawn to it. Men want somebody who believes in something that stand for something. Your version of Christianity that says, it doesn't matter what anybody does, la, 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 because they think this is going to really show the love of God and more people will come to Christ. It is not what happens, and it will not happen, and it will be the undoing of the Christian community. Today, sexual sin means nothing in most churches. I'm talking evangelical churches. Oh, if you ask them specifically, should they be doing it, you'll get past, well, I suppose not, but we want to love people. We were in South Africa at some big church talking about porn and masturbating and lust. I'll never forget as long as I live, the pastor, this cool, hip-looking pastor, with all his, you know, pastors around him. When I got done, he looks at me and goes, so you're saying that's wrong? You were in the room.
I was sitting right there.
I'm not making this up. She was in the room. So you're saying it's wrong?
It was deer in the headlights.
Here is the pastor, one of the largest, fastest-growing churches in South Africa, who was stunned that I would think that porn and masturbating and fornicating would be wrong. This is where we are. Oh, they're great worshipers. Oh, they have great music. Oh, they all run the church. Oh. But morality? Apparently not much. This is where we're headed. This is a disaster. And here's the thing. I've used this analogy. I just used it a couple days ago in another show. I'll use it till the day I die. This is where we're at. If someone in your church says, you know, we love Jesus, but we kill people, you would be shocked. Mm-hmm. We love Jesus, but we steal from people, you would be shocked. Me and my boyfriend really love Jesus, but we lie to old people. You would be mortified and you would confront them. But every time a Christian couple comes and say, we really love God, but we're having sex, most people say and do nothing. Because we have deceived ourselves into thinking that all sexual sin now is not sin at all. And do you know why? Here's why. Listen to me on this, people. Listen to me. Focus for a minute. Sit down, whatever you're doing. Sit down on the chair. Right now, use the watch it on television. Sit down, and pay attention for a second. Listen to me. The reason we've gotten ourselves into this is we have lied to ourselves. We believe that human love is greater than God's righteousness. You see, it's okay. We shouldn't commit fornicating, but if we fornicate, it's okay because we love each other. See, I know we shouldn't commit adultery. I know that the Bible says it's wrong, but we love each other. I know that the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, but if two people truly love each other, see, we believe that human love is greater than God's righteousness. That's why sexual sin now seems to be nothing. We have lied to ourselves. Listen to me. Human love never exceeds God's righteousness. You may be having an adulterous affair right now. You might be having sex with some other woman's husband and truly love that man more than you love anybody. Your love may truly be the greatest human love that has ever... I'm not exaggerating. I'm not making fun. I'm serious. Your love might be truer and more committed and deeper than any two human beings have ever experienced in the history of mankind. It's still wrong. Why? Because human love never exceeds God's righteousness. Human love is way down here. In fact, you can't even see it anymore. It's gotten off the screen. All right? God's righteousness is so far above. Human love doesn't change anything. Well, but Pastor, they're committing adultery, but they love each other. Still wrong. Well, I'm dating my boyfriend, and we really love each other, and we really love God, and we're on the worship team. Still wrong. Well, we're having sex with someone of the same sex. We're gay, but if we really love each other, it's still wrong. Okay? Human love changes nothing. This is where the church has lost its way, because we now believe human love is greater than God himself. And that is a big mistake. Why are churches doing this? They want to be hip. They want to be cool. They want to be seen as forgiving. They think it's going to lead to bigger churches, when in fact it'll actually lead to the opposite. Again, look at any church, the most liberal churches in the world, where all of this is all free. They are phasing out of existence.
Fastest growing religion in the world?
Islam.
Do they believe in homosexuality?
No.
No.
Not in adultery, not in fornicating, not in masturbating. They're calling men to a higher level, and men are rising to it by the tens of thousands. And yet the Christian faith is afraid that if we challenge men to higher levels, even though that's what Jesus did, think of what Jesus' level was. He says, if you so much as look at a woman and lust, you are in the wrong. That's what Jesus did. And when people lifted up Jesus' standard, it drew men to him. But we have lost our way. We have lost our mind. And I've lost the amount of time left in this break. We will be back with more right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com. And Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
You're back on the crazy train with Mark Gunger, Diane, and Phil. What you got?
She says, what if you're doing the whole marriage thing wrong? I'm a Christian.
That question probably means she is, but yes. Go ahead.
I am a Christian, and divorce is so ugly to me, but I also believe God wants his children to be happy.
Who tells you that? Who told you that?
The preachers on TV.
Who told you that? Don't listen to those idiots. TV. Who tells you that God wants you to be happy?
Do you know how many people write to us and put on the blog posts and comments on this that they, anytime that you're taking this stand, but God wants us to be happy. But God wants us to be happy.
Just like he wanted Jesus to be happy. That's why Jesus had such a happy life here.
Oh, right? Yeah, I was real happy. And they're crucifying him. That's giggles and grins all the whole time.
That's what they think.
God wants you to be holy. God can give you joy. But this idea of happiness, that you get whatever you want, just have giggles and grins on your face all the time. Listen, a lot of Christianity is not fun at all. Anybody fast? Most people have never fasted. Do you know most Christians have never fasted a day? Never. Not a single day.
Well, that would make them unhappy now, wouldn't it?
You got that right, especially American Christians, you know? Praying when you don't feel like praying doesn't make you feel happy, you know? Sometimes you don't... reading the Bible when you'd rather watch a movie won't necessarily make you be. There's all kinds of so many disciplines in the Christian life. Giving money. He said, well, it'll eventually make you happy. Well, yeah, it'll eventually bring you joy. But in terms of happiness, you know what makes me really happy is when I keep all my money for myself, mm-hmm. that I can buy anything I want. Mm-hmm. Giving money to others and I don't have as much as I had before doesn't, you know, this idea, you need to do the right things, whether it makes you happy or not, is irrelevant. God, Jesus did not come to make people happy. He came to make you holy and to adjust your life to the standard of God. Anyway,
she says, my atheist husband permanently lives in his nothing box.
Okay.
We did rush into getting married, and my relationship with God also grew heaps. So apparently, they've been married 3 years. She was not a strong Christian when they got married, but now she has become stronger.
She's a strong Christian now, married to an atheist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And things just seem ridiculous to me now. She says, naturally, it gets more complicated than just the nothing box. It all comes down to values.
I don't care. What she's saying
is... Her values are different than his.
No, she's implying that I'm against divorce, but God wants us to be... What she's saying... Well, you have to read between the lines of these people, guys.
Yeah.
What she's saying is, I want to be able to divorce my husband. I want to find a Christian man so we can really be happy together.
Mm-hmm. I want to violate God's rules so that I can be happy.
I want to break what God says and insult God so that I can be happy. That's what she's saying. Mm-hmm. You, my dear, you need a swirly, for heaven's sake!
I almost thought we were going to go two shows without a swirly.
And she gets the go button. You're crazy, for heaven's sake. Well, he's an atheist. I don't care. The Bible says if you have married to an unbeliever who wants to stay with you, you stay married to him, straight up. What difference does it make? You can still serve God even if you're married to an atheist. You can still worship Jesus, even though you're married to an atheist. You can still love your neighbor, even though you're married to an atheist. You can still read your Bible, even if you're married to an atheist. What does it matter? Because he's my husband, and he spends so much time off in his little atheist box in his brain. I'm not happy, and I want to... Listen to me, you goofy woman. You could be married to a born-again preacher, and you'd still be miserable. Because he'll be busy working in the church. They're self-centered, narcissistic, selfish little snots. And they think God approves of that. That's the version of God wants me to be happy.
Yep.
The
Find
very thing the Bible...
Give me everything I want,
everything
the way
Bible
I want it.
Teaches against, we have convinced people that's what you get. Mm-hmm. I get to be happy. I want what I want, the way I want it, the way I... How about... You quit worrying about your happiness and think, what can I do to serve other people? What can I do to make other people happy? What can I do to make my atheist husband happy? That's what you should be concerned about. Quit worrying. What is this? I get to be happy. Aren't you even slightly ashamed, people, when you say that? God wants me to be happy. I want to be happy. I'm not happy. Could you be more selfish, more self-centered? Dear Lord, you all get a swirly. It's a group swirly. We need a bigger toilet. Stick all the heads in there. Flush all the heads in there. And they think this is God. They think this is God's
will for them. That's
what
their culture tells them. That's what even I say. Even
and that's why so many people are going
them.
To hell in a handbasket. Good grief. Jesus, let me remind you some of the radical. There's this really radical guy in Christianity. His name was Jesus. Yes, very radical guy. I know a lot of people don't really like his teachings. You know, I mean, seriously, when you think about it, mm-hmm. they like Christianity, but they really can't stand the teachings of Jesus.
They like that.
They say
I want to be happy. God loves me. Part. That's all.
What they like to do is come to church and sing la 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 and shake hands with people and hug people la 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 la. But truth is, they can't stand the teachings of Jesus. Let me tell you some of the teachings of Jesus, this radical person who is a little connected to Christianity, just a little. His name's Jesus, you know, Christ, Christianity. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. You should be more concerned about that than whether or not you're happy. Irritates me. Let's take a break. We'll be back with the final segment right after this.
Attend Mark's Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage event. Visit laughyourway.com for upcoming dates and locations.
Then I recall the fact you loved me when I was wrong. And if I'm good enough for you, that's where I belong.
This is the Mark Gunger Show. Talk about love, marriage, and relationships. Bemoaning
how far we have fallen as the people of faith in the Christian community. We're convinced that God just wants you to be happy. And as long as you love each other, everything's okay. But they don't. I'm telling you, most Christians, I can't say most. There's a lot of Christians.
Too many.
I've got to believe most Christians still actually love Jesus, the real Jesus. But there's a lot of Christians. They like the idea of Jesus. They like the idea of forgiveness. They like the idea of singing songs and being part of a club. But they would be mortified by the actual teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you know what's really sad? If you listen to most pastors preach the Gospels, first of all, most don't at all. They just like to find the warm and fuzzy parts of the Bible and teach on that, or giving and all the different things, spiritual warfare. But you actually teach the teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's stunning how so much of it is an explanation of what Jesus didn't really mean what he said. When you hear a pastor teach on those words,
oh, they explain it away.
If you lust at another woman, you're committing adultery in your heart. Well, what he really meant was,
yes.
And if your eye offend you, pluck it out. If your hand offend you, cut it off. Well, he doesn't really want you. What he really means is, and when Jesus told the one guy, you know, let the dead bury their dead, come and follow me. Well, what Jesus really meant was he wouldn't have actually insisted that he not go to his father's funeral and da-da-da. And when Jesus said, sell everything you have and give to the poor because it's hard for rich people to get in heaven. Well, what God really meant by that is if it means more to you than what, I mean, it's like almost nobody mm-hmm. actually teaches that what Jesus said, he meant what he said. Mm-hmm. Much of the preaching of the gospel today is an apologetic to explain away what Jesus taught, except for the fact that he loves everybody. Mm-hmm. That we're all hip on. That's cool. When Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, what
not
he
so fond of that.
Well, what he really meant, you know, because listen to what has Christianity taught for the last 40, 50 years, especially in Christian television stuff. If you just ask Jesus in your heart, if you confess Jesus the Lord, you'll be saved. Absolutely, absolutely. When in fact, Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you still need to do that to get saved. I'm just saying that we've been so overemphasized. Mm-hmm. We haven't taught the full counsel of God. And we've created this selfish, it's no wonder people can't stay married. Here's a woman who writes us who really thinks it's not fair that God truly wants her to be able to get rid of her atheist husband and find another husband.
Because God wants her to be happy.
Whatever I get, whatever I get. Phil found this great song. Yeah, welcome to Hip New Cool Church. We're all about here to teach you how you can have faith so you can. Anyway you want it, it's the way you need it, anyway you want it. I'm going to show you how you can trust God and believe God right now. If you'll open your Bible, I'm going to show you how you can get to the place where. Anyway you want it, it's the way you need it, anyway you want it. If you come to our church, we're going to have a special conference this weekend, and we're going to teach you how you can walk more in faith so that you can absolutely experience any way you want it, it's the way you need it, any way you want it. That's what it's all about. Praise God, it's the new anthem of the church. Welcome to Hip Cool Church, because we're all about you. Any way you want it, it's the way you need it, any way you everybody want dance it. Woo! This is the new anthem in the Christian community. Praise God, we're going to teach you how to have faith. Any way you want it, the way you need it, any way you want. Woo! You can get rid of your stupid husband if he's a heathen. Get rid of him because God has a special man for you because you need to be happy. Any way you want it, it's the way you need it, any way you want it. If your wife doesn't give you giggles and grins all the time and your kids irritate the snot out of you, you just need to get rid of them. Praise God, it's God's will. Do you know why? Any way you want it, it's the way you need it, any way you want it. Hallelujah! We're having revival here.
I'm sorry, I watched.
Praise God!
You look like a Muppet when you dance. It's like the animal when they have the strings. The Muppet. It makes me laugh. You look like a Muppet.
Oh, I just can't take it anymore.
There are a lot of churches called like Journey Fellowship. And
I know.
Like
I wonder if they play that song.
So that's probably why.
Welcome to Journey Fellowship. Any way you want it, it's the way you need it, any way you want it. Man, oh man. Seriously, you could play this song.
And they think that's
in
true
a lot of evangelical churches today. People would be so excited about what God
I
has
know.
For you. Any way you want it, it's the way you
need it, any way you want it. They'd be cheering.
What about laying down your life?
How about forsaking all? How about fasting? How about giving to the poor? How about you not being happy and making other people happy? How about you serving others? How about you being less so that God can be greater? How about you looking for the most humble part of the room to sit in instead of sitting yourself at the front? How about you serve everybody and don't expect to be praised for it because you say, I'm just a servant. I should be serving before. Whatever happened to that part of Christianity?
Well, it's kind of disappeared. It has. It's disappeared.
Do you know why?
Mm-hmm. Any way you want, it's the
way you need it. Any way you want. Oh, man.
Here's the thing I have found in life. People who constantly chase trying to find happy are the ones who are never happy. They just keep chasing it and trying to find it.
I can't do the right thing because that would not make me happy. Oh, well, that's different. Well, that's different. Of course you can't do the right thing because that would make you happy. You can't obey what Jesus said. That wouldn't make you happy. We can't go there. We can't actually live out the Bible, heaven forbid. God wants you to be happy. Poor martyrs, they never got that. Being thrown to the lions, they never quite understood. Hey, God wanted you to be happy.
Darn, I missed that memo.
They missed the memo while the lions were eating the flesh off
of their
bones.
Maybe that's what they wanted. They were concerned about the starving lions.
Maybe that was making them happy. Maybe it's a version of environmentalism.
I don't know.
Feeding lions with your flesh. All right, now I'm depressed. See you next time.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.